Hallelujah, Father, we worship you. So, Lord, let this week, the beginning of this day and the beginning of this week, take us to the next place. Lord, none of these things are by happen chance. We believe, and this is our faith, that all these things are scripted. They're planned of heaven, taking us ever a bit closer to the place that we affectionately call done, the place of outpouring, the place of preparation, the final step, the finalization before the coming of the Lamb. It is our sincere and utmost desire, Father, that our celebration this week and everything that we hear in the Word and the power that's demonstrated will be far more than just the time that we're here for this short season of this week. But we pray that, Lord, that in the heart of God and in the mind of Christ, that you will take us very deliberately into the next phase of your glory, into the next phase of your outpouring, into the next phase of your chastening over our life, the next phase of your sobering of our life towards the end. We thank you for the finalization. We thank you for what you are doing in us today. And Lord, we thank you for these that you've brought to us this morning and for everyone that's seated in here this morning to hear your word. And we give you all the glory and praise. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, 17 years ago, I can't imagine that, but I can. It goes, where does it go? It's amazing. 17 years ago, March of this past March, I took a trip to Tulsa land, and I met this guy named Gary Carpenter, and we hit it off real quick. And would you believe it? He was the first to come and test the waters here in Immokalee. He went into the land of promise and came back and was carrying these big grapes, and he was telling Pastor Dave, and there's something going on down there. Hallelujah. And he'll always have a special place in my heart because he came to Little Immokalee, and not only did he come, but he loved it. Hallelujah. He loved it. So he always reiterates, both he and his lovely wife, how much they love being here with us. But I'll let him tell more and more of that to you this morning when he comes. Would you give my very best and wonderful friend this morning, Mr. Gary Carpenter, give him a great big hand this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yep. Praise God. Is it working? I'll hang on to this for a minute here. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, I counted a privilege 17 years ago to have met Pastor Bronk. He was really being kind of nice. What I really told Pastor Dave after we came and experienced the worship here and the spirit, the presence that we felt here, I'll tell you exactly what I told Dave. I got back, I said, Dave, we got to pray harder. If we don't pray harder, revival is going to come to Immokalee before it does Tulsa. So these people love God, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, they're serious about this. So hallelujah. Well, we are so glad to be here. Y'all remember our daughter Erin that came with us, I think once or twice anyway. She still just loves this city. When she came, we stayed at the glorious Immokalee Inn. Hallelujah. Now, they've cut down the palm trees now, you know. They used to have those palm trees out front, and Erin, literally, after being here a while and meeting everyone, she went out one day, she was just kissing that palm tree. Said, I love even these palm trees here. I love the city, you know. We were checking into the motel yesterday, and we love the owner of the motel over there. I don't really know his name, but he's always very friendly. And he was talking with me and everything. He says, he saw the car all loaded down. He says, did you drive? Where are you from? He said, Oklahoma. He said, you drove all the way from Oklahoma? I said, yes. He goes, Pastor, how old are you? And I said, I'm only 66. Now see, if I get to complaining, you know, if my knee starts to ache or I get a little pain, you know, and I... I get to complaining, you know. See, my mother is still alive. She's 92. If she, yeah, oh, she's doing well, you know. And if she hears me complaining at all, she'll go, she'll just kind of smack me on the, just, I remember 66. 66 is great. Be quiet. Hallelujah. But we are so glad to be here. Yes, sir. Homer, he was here. There he is. Okay. I just want you to know, not everybody in Tulsa knows you, but many of them know of you because you have a, you know, they're going to think you're 9 feet tall when you come. Because when we heard about the miracle that in your eyes, I'm telling you, there was dancing in Tulsa. I just want you to know. We just thank God for that miracle. And what God does for one, he'll do for the other. I want to brag on the Lord just a little bit now. Anyone that knows Sue and I knows we're as plain as dirt. You know, there's nothing special about us at all. But we have a very extraordinary God. And we had one service on this trip already. It was Friday night with Loretta Cole, her church, up in Ocala. And I just want to brag on the Lord a little bit. Now, it was a small service. We had roughly 40 people there. Out of 40 people, 6 got filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just amazing, you know? Then we prayed for many people, and many times the healings you can't tell, you know, like sugar diabetes, we prayed for several. It's hard to tell, and, you know, get a report later. But I want to tell you about one, like how do you, another notable miracle, that's how he's, one that was just outstanding, you know, this lady come up, and she had severe back pain. As we're guessing, I don't know how she was, maybe 40s, maybe approaching 50, I don't know. But, and hips. A lot of hip pain and everything. So, you know, what do? You do what Dave does, you know. Stand, come here, put your arms like this, you know. Hers wasn't off very far, just about this much. We prayed for her, and, you know, just immediately they straightened up. But then we had her sit in a chair, and you know how you have them put the legs out, you know, and see? Well, boy, it was easy to see. Her left leg was a good inch shorter than the other one. And I said, wow, it's easy to tell which one. Then she said this. This is not what you want to hear right before you pray. Oh, that leg's always been an inch shorter than the other one. It's like a birth defect, you know. I said, oh, okay. Thank you for that information. In the name, you know, in the name. And this one resisted. It resisted growing out. Well, I resisted back. You're not bigger than the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, this leg grows. And slowly, 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 everyone had time to come up and watch. There's only 40. Everybody's up there, and slowly it came out. And finally, it was just level with the whole, we couldn't shut her up after that. She was going, I cannot believe my legs are the same length. Come and look. Look, they're the same length. My whole life, look. I wonder if that's going to have an impact on her family and the friends and people that's known her all of her life. Now, that kind of revival is coming, not just through pulpit ministry. That, we're talking about the end times, that's supposed to be happening through you at Walgreens, CVS, where you work, playground, schoolyard, everywhere. And it's going to be Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper. Because I'm pretty sure he said, those that believe shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Doesn't say just the fivefold. Those that, how many believers we got? Now raise your hand or we're going to have an altar call. Those that believe. Hallelujah. All right. See if there's anything I left out now. Okay. And I'm going to treat you like family this week. Is that okay? I'm going to be really honest with you. Sometimes the Lord has a plan. What I mean is I'll have an assignment. Like I want you to teach on the gifts of the Spirit. I want you to teach on faith. I'd be honest with you. I was asked, what's the name of it? Country Kitchen. I'm going to put a plug in for the Country Kitchen. If you order chicken and rice, they bring you a whole chicken. We didn't know that. It's a little chicken, but it's a whole chicken. Anyway, we was talking about God and slopping down chicken and pounding the table. And I said, what are you teaching on? I want to know what you're teaching on. He told me Wednesday night service was Faith 101. Yes. What I want to do right now is quit talking and y'all play that service. I so admire the teaching gift that's in Pastor. I don't come here because I think you need teaching, like you're not getting it. I know you're getting the very best. But sometimes hearing the same truth, just said a little different way, maybe a little different parable or just something, and maybe something will click, you know. But now this week, my assignment this week has been to purposely keep my mind from trying to devise an agenda. Every time I would start, he'd say, stop it. And I've got about six messages in me that I would like to teach all six right now. So somebody, lock the door. You're closing. Now, I have no idea if those are the six that's going to come. And I was asking the Lord about this morning's service. And I said, Lord, please don't let me just have to pick one. And he didn't, through Pastor. As Pastor was exhorting and praying. And then when he said that prayer, Lord, you know, I don't know exactly how you worded it, but don't be real nice to us, Lord. Lord, we don't have a lot of time here. Yes. You know, we want what needs to happen to us. Yes. So that's the message you're going to get, okay? No. All right. So open up to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, I will say this. I want to plug two messages that I did recently. And as you know, everything that we have at the website is free, so I'm not doing this to get your money. In the early days when I first praying in the trucks and began ministering, those first few years, we really laid a foundation in what's called Kingdom Finances. And we taught several series. Those are all available at the website. Several of them were done in Houston with our good friend LaRue. But I still remember the day driving back from the last time that I did one of those down there. And I had crossed into Oklahoma and stopped at a little truck stop. I still love truck stops, you know. I like to go in and get the coffee where you put the spoon in and the spoon stands. You have to kind of force it around, you know. But I went in to get a cup of coffee, and it was snow, just a little light pellets hitting on my cheek walking back to the truck, or pickup I was driving at the time. And the Lord said to me, just as clear as you're hearing my voice right now, he said, I brought you as far as I can on your understanding of kingdom finances at your current level of maturity. He says, before I can take you farther, you're going to have to know more about who you are and the inheritance that I've truly given you. Well, that was a long time ago, my brothers and sisters. That was probably 15 years ago. I've taught a little bit on it as he'd give me a little light. We did the manna series since then and a few other things. But just recently, you know, since then, we've been down to, when he said that to me, that was before the Born Again Trail. That was before Pastor Dave took us all. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I don't want to embarrass you. If you have not heard Pastor Dave's series called the Born Again Trail, and what I'm talking about, there are six volumes, 10 messages in each volume. If you have not heard those, you really don't have anything else to do. I am telling you, you have to have that understanding to go where we're going. You're going to have it. So anyway, now having that understanding and then so many other teachings since then, just recently the Lord has had me start again now, breaking kingdom finances. And I want to plug two messages for you because I don't know if I'll get to teach them or touch on them at all this week or not. One of them was two Sunday nights ago. This is so that's in the Sunday night services at our website, if you don't know it, is garycarpenter.org. Garycarpenter.org. Click on media. This first one is in the Sunday night teachings. And the title is Financial Exaltation Introduction. I had no notes for that meeting, like I have no notes now. That message came through my lips. I have since listened to it twice myself in the car. And I'm going to have to listen to it sometime where I can sit and take notes. I believe it's going to wind up being as revolutionary as a previous message I did called The Widow's Mite. Anyone ever hear of that message, The Widow's Mite? You know how it changed you when you heard it? This one will change you when you hear it. And it's going to change the sowing, your understanding of sowing and reaping. I'll just give you, he previewed this many years ago, but we are now going to really move from sharecropper to owner. Who did Paul say is the little g god of this world? Little g. That's the devil, right? But who did he get that from? He got that authority, that dominion from Adam when Adam bowed the knee. God never gave the devil nothing. Now, the devil may have control at this moment, we don't know he does, of most of the world's finances. But I'll tell you what, the devil doesn't own it. Amen. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. Everything was made by him and for him. And I'm telling you, the owner is about to redirect a lot of finances in the earth. But he can't do it through sharecroppers. He does it through sons who know they are heirs and that have dominion. That same Holy Ghost. Everyone say, Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
When Jesus sent Peter to go, I guess I'm preaching already. When Jesus sent Peter to go fishing. You know, normally Peter fishes with a net. But he sent him fishing with a hook. And he says, the first fish that comes up, you take that coin out of its mouth. Now, y'all reckon out of the billions and billions of fish that are in the sea, for it to be that one fish directed to the right place, to the right time, you reckon the Holy Ghost was involved in that? You reckon he might have been involved in routing the money where it needed to go? So that when God's man was doing what God said, the money was there? What if that same Holy Ghost got involved redirecting your finances? For additional tapes by Gary Carpenter. No. The second message I want you to, I want to plug, or is that a good word? Promote. This is in the weekly services section. I did it in a main service. And it's just titled, Go Up Higher. Go Up Higher. And I'll give you a teaser on it. You know, we may even talk about this today or this week. I know Bronk has taught it, Dave has taught it, I've taught it, about how to be exalted in the kingdom. You know, Jesus said in Luke 14, he says, when you're invited to a wedding, don't choose out the highest seat. You know, that's the way the world does it. You know, they pushing and shoving and elbowing and getting there early, and I'm going to get that highest seat and exalt myself, you know. Well, that's the way the world does it, and that's the way a lot of ministry people do it too. You know, but you know, even in ministry, if you're not careful, it's easy to do that kind of thing. I gotta be careful now. Okay. But now Jesus says, he says, don't do that. He says, when you come, take the lowest seat. And we could, you know, I don't think it's his mind right now to teach that. It's been taught. Raise your hand if you've heard messages along that line. Take the lowest seat. How do you do it? Well, you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Who is the hand of God that's on earth today? Which member of the three? It's the Holy Ghost. Well, how do you humble yourself under him? You start doing this message. You start praying in other tongues. You begin fasting. You begin submitting yourself to the Word. Assimilate this Word. Get this Word on the inside. If you quit trying to figure it out, feed it to yourself like you would any other food. How many of you, before you'll eat a tomato, you say, God, you got to give me the revelation of the tomato. No, I got to know, what does this seed do? What does that seed do? Why is there two seeds? No, you just eat it. You got a digestive system that takes all those nutrients, spreads it through your body where you need it. This word is food for you. You have a digestive system. His name is the Holy Ghost. His job is to extract the truth out of here and bring it to you every time you need it. Glory to God. Eat it. Pray in tongues. Digest it. Let the Holy Spirit bring all that nutrients of truth to you, and you're going to walk not like other men walk. Amen? Dang, that's good preaching. I think so. Glory to God. Well, anyway, what I was getting at here, though, we've known that for years, because what you really want, let's take ministry. That's how we're normally whatever your calling is, and that's how we normally teach it. And what you want is, instead of you elbow your way to the top, what you want is to take that lowest seat until him that bade thee. Let's say it a little different way. Him that called you. Isn't that the same thing? Him that bade thee. If you're called, he bade. When him that called you, see, he's watching. And it's not the number of hours of prayer. He's not like going, okay, she prayed 48 hours, 49. I'm watching 49. This is Jesus. 49 hours. As soon as she hits 50, I'm going to promote her. No, It's not like that. It's not works. What he's watching is the change produced in you while you do those things. When he sees that humility, that heart become a broken, contrite clay in the master's hands, when he sees that, then he comes. And he says, now, friend, and this is what you want. You don't want to promote yourself. You want him that called you. Hallelujah. Him that called you, him that bled and died.
Praise God.
He'll come and he'll say, friend,
yes.
Go up higher.
Yes.
When that happens, there's a change in your anointing. There's a change in your walk. There is a change in the presence everywhere you go. And it says, even those that know you best, those that break bread with you, those that have known you, even they'll say, something's happened. You're not like you used to be. Tell me more about tell me what's happened to you. I need to follow that same path. And you become a leader now, see. You become exalted. I said all that. You've heard all of those things before. Isn't it good, though?
Yes.
Did you know I found it, that there is such a thing in finances? That there is something you can do on purpose? And everyone right now thinks I'm going to say give. No, it's not. There's something you can do. I found it. Should I tease them with it? All right. Stay in 2 Timothy. Go to Luke 14. We'll just look at verse 10 first, and I'm going to tease you with it. And maybe, like I say, I've already taught it. Okay? It's in those two messages. He may let me go further this week. But see, look at Luke 14:10. This is the verse that I was just talking about. When thou art bidden, let's say it this way, when you're called, go and sit down in the lowest room. That when he that called thee, he that bade thee, comes, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Now there's your true exaltation. When the Lord comes, him that called you, he says, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. In other words, they'll be able to tell it. Now, we've always taught that in the sense of ministry, in the sense of your calling, but I want you to back up the laws of meditation. Let's back up just a little bit. Let's back up into chapter 12. I'm just going to tease you with this. Maybe we'll get to do it. If I don't get to do it this week, those two messages have this on it. Okay? Look at verse 42. Luke 12, 42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward? If you underline in your Bible, I really recommend you underline that word steward. Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Now here it is. Look at verse 44. Of a truth I say unto you, that he who? The Lord. He will make him ruler over all that he has. Friend, if that's not go up higher, I don't know what is. He's watching you as a steward. He finds you faithfully doing what he called you to do. He says, I've been watching you. I'm going to promote you now. I'm going to make you ruler over all that I have. To be continued. Now, just so you'll know, okay. Just so you'll know that he's talking about kingdom finances, let's keep backing up. Y'all remember the laws of meditation? Back up just a little bit. Look at verse 15, same chapter. And he said unto him, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Then he starts giving a parable about a certain rich man. He is talking about finances. And if you'll look at the red, it's continual red, clear over to that verse 42. He has not changed the subject. Every commentary I have ever read They'll talk about stewardship till they get to verse 42. Suddenly then, they're talking about doctrine. You know, this man who's, this person who's giving the meat to the servants, well, that's talking about the pastor. Well, you can take it that way. It's okay. But if we're going to obey the laws of meditation, what was the topic? Beware of what? Covetousness. Okay. I told you those are two good messages. Now, if you want to get the fullness of that, get those two messages. You can afford them. They're free. Okay. They're already there. Just download them and listen to them. I'm going to listen to that first one myself sometime when I can sit and take notes. I keep listening to it, but if I tried to preach it again right now, unless that anointing comes on me, I couldn't do it because it didn't come out of my head. You know. Now, if you haven't found 2 Timothy chapter 4 by now, just look on with your neighbor or something, or just listen. See, when I have the privilege of ministering with Bronk, or like Jim Martin, or Pastor Dave, to me, these men, I know them so well. I've known them for almost 20 years now. I've seen them behind the scenes. I've seen them, you know, when they got their blue jeans on, and, you know, and we're just, they're the same. They're the same always. And especially when they have a real teaching anointing, you know, like Bronk has and Jim Martin has. And to me, these are the guys, you know, this charge is to them is just as much as it is to me. Look here in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Now preach the word. What? Preach what? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Now, we go by that so quick. It seems like in my career, I've been at this now, I've been saved 33 years. There's waves of doctrine that come through. Sometimes you'll see them come through, then they'll subside, and 10 years later, you'll see them come through again. You know? This in season and out of season. Right now in our nation, Christianity is going out of season. I don't know if you can tell that or not. There was a time in my mother's, most of her lifetime, that Christianity was very much in season. Okay? But it's out of season now. And especially if you preach the word. If you stand up and speak the truth, they call you a hater and a bigot. Narrow-minded. I always take that as a compliment because Jesus said narrow is the way that leads to life, you know, okay? But we're to be instant in season, out of season. That means whether they like you, whether they don't like you. Reprove. What's that next word? The big churches are not the ones where the rebuking is going on. The big churches, and I'm not, this title just says it all, your best life now. That's what everybody's interested in. How can I get all the blessings of God? I want the best for my house. I want the best for my kids. And God's not against these things. Now see, it's subtle. But your life becomes about my best life now, rather than take up thy cross and follow me. You know. Reprove, that means instruct. Rebuke, that means you're doing it wrong. Stop it. We're going to do a little of that today. And I want to talk about you, but in general. Exhort. That's encourage. With all long suffering. Now, by the way, I did a Greek of the Greek intensive study of that word long suffering. I mean, I did. I went to the Koine. I went to the classical. I broke it down to its I went to the root of the root. And I found out that long suffering means to suffer long. It really does. It means have patience with people. Give them some time. Has he given you any time? Has the Lord been long suffering with you? Well, I know he has with me. But notice, exhort with all long suffering. Give them a chance. And doctrine. Doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, why in the world won't they? Why won't they endure it? It's not what they want to hear. It's got a rebuke in it. I don't want to hear that. I want to think it's okay that I can, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's your church or not. I want you to tell me it's okay that I can live with my homosexual lover and I'm still okay with God. You know? Well, we do love you and God loves you and He died for you, but that's not okay. You know? Well, I was born this way. No, you weren't. I know I was. And I go, I know you're not. Because if you were, if that was possible, God would not call it sin. If they had no choice, if they're born that way, He wouldn't call it sin. Sue was saying in hers, I loved it. She was preaching the truth. She said, this word is truth. Nothing else is. And I don't care if the government comes against us. I don't care. You know, it won't be long now. I think Dave leaves town on purpose when people are about to get married. He doesn't like doing them. He'll do them, but he doesn't like doing them because you got to dress up. And he doesn't like that, you know. So he goes to Brazil and lets Gary get dressed up, see. I do the weddings. I do more than Dave does. And so right now it's not a problem, but it will be a problem soon. I'm prophesying that if I refuse to marry, and I will refuse it, you know, a homosexual couple or a lesbian couple, I will refuse it. They said, we'll put you in prison. I said, I can preach in prison. I don't want to. That's not my best. I'd rather not. I would rather stay with my wife and my grandkids. But I'll go to prison before I'll marry a homosexual couple. You know? We're not called to be, boy, I nearly said that out loud. Let me say it this way. I'm going to say it a different way. Isn't Sue sweet?
Yes.
Don't y'all love Sue? Yeah, y'all haven't been around Sue as long as I have, okay? Sometimes we'll go to counseling, you know, and maybe it's a married couple, and I'm not looking at anybody now, okay? Okay, if I ever sat with you, we're not talking about you. But, you know, I've seen this happen more than once. And in the course of it, you know, maybe the man, it just becomes obvious in the course of it, he is not being the head of the house. He's not leading his family in prayer. He's not leading his family in the word. He's not doing anything really. Sue, I've seen this more than once. She'll say to the guy, she said, I want to see your man card and I want to see it right now. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure your man card has expired. So what is wrong with you? When are you going to take charge of your house? What do you mean? You know, she'll start talking with them like that. Well, this word is truth. Nothing else is. This is the standard by which you judge everything. Now, I will tell you this. The Lord got, okay. When, even as I say that, thank God we have the Holy Ghost. And thank God, I mean, Christians through history have had the Holy Ghost, but they have not always had the teaching that we have had. And I'm assuming that you've heard the teaching through Pastor Dave that has been distilled now down through me and through Bronk and through Jim Martin and others, that you understand how to be taught by the Holy Spirit, see? Because there is such a thing without the Holy Ghost of taking the literal word of God and using it to butcher people. See, the whole Inquisition, if you go back and read history, thousands upon thousands were burned at the stake because of a literal translation of something Jesus said. At the Last Supper, he held up the bread. What did he say? This is my body broken for you. Then he held up the cup. This is my blood in the New Testament. So they would ask them, when you take the wafer and you put it on your tongue, does that become the literal body of Jesus? And if you said no, they burned you at the stake. No mercy at all, no love of God at all. A wrong interpretation, even though it was literal, of the Word of God. Now I understand that, okay? We're not doing that, all right? But when God, Old Testament and New, says it is, in the Old Testament, said it's abomination for man to lie with man as with a woman. And in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1, where Paul lays it out real clear now, And I feel for you young people especially. I know the pressure is on that your generation even way worse than ours to accept all this, okay? I feel for the college age today. It's difficult in high school. But when God says Old Testament and New, this is wickedness, this is abomination, that's false doctrine to say it's okay,
that's right.
Then we have to stand up and agree with God.
Yes.
And put us in prison, whatever.
Yes.
That's just the way it is.
That's right.
Amen? So when it says they will not endure sound doctrine, why won't they endure it? It's not what they want to hear.
That's right.
Should have had you stay in Luke 14. Go back to, keep your place here. Go back to Luke 14. This is your fault, Bronk. I was gonna do a real nice message for them.
Thank you, Jesus.
And my watch is lying big time, too. Luke 14. Let's look at our verse again. See, the subject doesn't change in Luke 14. He's given you some insight on how to take the lowest room here. When he says, look at verse 10 again. This is the verse we want. This is what we want to see happen in our life. When thou art bidden, go down and sit in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee, I like to say, when he that calls you, when he comes, he'll say to you, friend, go up higher. That is what we're all after. But notice, come on down through here. He says, look at verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, the word is full of love your mother and love your father. The first commandment with promise, honor thy father and thy mother that it may be well with thee and that thy days may be long upon the earth. When he says, hate not his father and mother, what he means by that is in comparison to your love for him. So you have to love him. Sue wants me to always love Jesus even more than I love her.
Yes.
See, if I love her more than I love Jesus, when push comes to shove, I'll follow her and not him. You'll follow your family. If the Hebrew children in the book of Hebrews, that whole letter was written to a generation who grew up Jewish, but they became Christian. Well, their parents put tremendous pressure on them to recant Jesus, give up on Jesus, and go back to the law of Moses. And if they loved their family more than they loved Jesus, that's exactly what they would have done. So that's all he's talking about here. He says, look, you have to love me more than family.
Yes.
You have to love me more than your own life also.
Yes,
I remember Oral Roberts. My job, by the way, is to follow the Lord through these services as he brings through me. My job is to not ignore him.
Yes.
I remember Oral Roberts. Do y'all know what he really wanted to be as a young man? He wanted to be a lawyer. And eventually he had his sights set on being the governor of Oklahoma. He had politics in mind. That's what he wanted to be growing up. And I don't know if y'all know this. He developed tuberculosis. And his older brother took him to a revival tent preaching dude, you know. I don't even know who it was. But took him to one of them fire-breathing Pentecostal places, you know. And a guy laid hands on Oral and he got healed. And he says, he got saved. Got healed, then saved. Well, when he went to the Lord, the first thing the Lord says is, now whose life, who are you going to follow? Because it wasn't the Lord's plan for him to be a politician. Lord, wherever you lead, I will follow. Well, that's what he means. To even love the Lord more than your own life also. You got to love him. That kind of stuff's not popular in churches. No, Jesus will help you become whatever you want to become. There is truth to that once you find his calling for your life. And yes, sir, he's correcting me. There's even truth to that if you don't. Second best or third best or somewhere down on best, you know. You know, there is the acceptable, good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Let me just say this. The blood is enough. We're not talking about heaven or hell here. I didn't come here to preach salvation messages to you guys. Okay? I can send you to the church I grew up in, trust me, they're teaching salvation today. Because that's all they ever preach. And God has a reason for that. They can walk in there and get saved. But he didn't send me here to teach that, preach that to you. You're here because you want to be his disciple. We're not talking heaven or hell here. The blood is enough. And he will. For many people, I'm going to say the majority of Christians that are going to wind up in heaven, the vast majority of them, they don't even know anything about humbling themselves under the mighty hand of God. They just thank God they were saved, they've been forgiven, and they're going to wind up in heaven. And for them, yes, Jesus will bless them all that he can on the whatever path they choose, as long as it's not, you know, trafficking cocaine or something like that. You know, but you know, as long as it's honest, he will. He'll help them. That's not why we're here today, is it? You're here because you want to be more his disciple. I'm here because I want to be more his disciple. I like that prayer. That's exactly the same kind of prayer I pray. Lord, don't be so nice to me. I need a whooping. Give me a whooping. If I'm on the wrong path, get me off that wrong path. If I need a smack upside the head, anybody but Bronk, let him do it to me. Hey, Homer, don't be smacking that guy. I saw that. Anyway. I love it. It's family. Look what he says. So that's verse 26. See, this is sound doctrine here. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, there's twofold message there, at least twofold. Well, what do you mean, bear my cross? Well, see, there was only one thing for sure. I know what your cross isn't. Your assignment from God is not to be the spotless lamb. That was his assignment. Nobody else is qualified. But see, each and every one of us, we have an assignment from God. Do you know why it's represented by a cross? You're not going to like it. You can't take your flesh with you to do it.
That's right.
Your flesh will have to die on that cross.
Oh, hallelujah.
God's fire does not fall on an empty altar. Did you hear that? Got a lot of Old Testament shadows I could show you there. I want the fire. He says, put your flesh on the altar. No. I want the fire, God. I want the anointing. I'll go pray in tongues and fast. No, I'm going to go back to the first church where they tell me my business is great. You know. And he loves you. He loves them. But you asked for the fire, didn't you?
Yes.
You asked for the anointing, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, there's a cross for you. I don't care what your calling is. There's a cross for you. Your flesh. Yes, sir. I remember that day praying in the trucks way back. Before I'd even stepped out into full-time ministry, praying in the trucks. By the way, we stopped this time on our trip, and at the Lamar exit, we took a photo. That's where God called me full-time. It's mile marker 64, if you ever want to go, in Arkansas on Interstate 40, right there. Anyway. Sorry, hang on. Anyway, I was still in the trucks. I'm sorry. I had a little trip there. I'm back now. Sort of. Whew. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good week. Previews of coming attractions. God, there it is again. I'm sorry. Hang on just a minute. Yes, sir. No, it's not for now, though. Anyway, I was praying in the trucks. They were talking about the flesh, putting your flesh on the altar, right? Putting your flesh on that cross. If you don't take up your cross, you can't. Well, I was praying in those trucks, and I had got accustomed, you know, because I prayed a lot. I mean, the plan for truckers is you drive 10 hours, and you're off 8 hours, and you drive 10 hours, and you're off. So I would pray in these 10-hour shifts, you know. And I was used to at least hearing something, getting a little flash or a little teaching something. During those shifts, you know, but I went a whole 10-hour stretch. I didn't get nothing. Like Dave says, it was dry as cracker juice. And I think I was into about the fifth hour of the next shift, and I hadn't heard a thing. And I remember praying. I said, Lord, I know you don't have to answer this, but God, what are you doing? I mean, you don't have to answer, I know, but well, during all this time I'm praying, I'm not hearing anything from you. What are you doing? And as clear as you're hearing my voice right now, I heard him say instantly, I'm driving the money changers from the temple. And I went, what? But I knew I had enough knowledge. We are the temple of God. And I remembered that image of Jesus making that scourge. You know, he didn't like those money changers being in my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. Well, when I started letting the Holy Ghost examine the inside of the temple of Gary, guess what he found in there? Money changers, greed, self-promotion, all of those kind of things. Part of take up your cross and follow me. Those hours you spend praying in other tongues, especially when you come up to an impasse. See, one of two things will happen. You'll deal with it, or you'll drop out of prayer. Now, don't ask me how I know this other part. You can fall out of prayer for months. Don't ask me. Kind of pray at it every now and then. Shundai my Hyundai. I tie my bow tie. Should have bought a Honda, but I bought a Hyundai. You know. Sorry. But as soon as you get back to serious prayer, see something on the, you may not have consciously said this, but something on the inside of you thinks, okay, he forgot about that now. I'm going to start praying again. He probably forgot about that thing I didn't deal with. You won't be praying 5 minutes. Right up there is that thing right in front of you again. You go, man, that's your AI. That's your Jericho. Whatever it is, you're not going any farther till you get past there. Now, he'll love you. You can dance around there, and you can enjoy the promised land you have conquered behind you. But Mark Jenkins did an illustration recently. Yes, sir. Again, my job's not to ignore him. Bronx, stand right over about where that wall is there for me. If we had a rope stretched from where I am to where Bronx is. Now, Bronx is maybe 18, 20 feet from me. And that rope represented the perfect plan of God. If you would precisely follow God's plan, it's represented by that rope. And picture in your mind, maybe every 3 feet, these black, like a sash, a black kerchief or something, tied to the rope. Those represent strongholds. They represent strongholds, you know. So maybe you've conquered one. Glory to God. Gossiping, I killed it. Put my foot on it. I don't gossip anymore. Maybe you killed another one. Alcohol. Bam! That was one of mine, you know. I haven't had a drink now in 33 years, and I'm better off for it, okay? Bam! Put my foot on your neck. And you think, man, I've done really good, but now this next one, God thinks you should love your wife. Oh, God. Nah, I do love my wife. I'm just trying to pick something. And you go, I can't deal. Here's one. We're going to get on this week, I think, anyway. He says, this next one is the stronghold of worry. Oh, God, I don't know if I can deal with the stronghold of worry or not. One preacher I admire, he says, Lord, I can't do that. He says, I was raised by champion warriors, and they made a champion warrior out of me, you know? And God keeps trying to get you to deal with that, and maybe you drop out of prayer, you drop out of fasting. And the thing of it is, see, you may have think, okay, I'll just live here, and you can really enjoy, you're free of alcohol now, you know, you can enjoy life free of alcohol, maybe free of gossip, free of any strongholds you've dealt with, and maybe you think you're doing pretty good, but see, if you could see in the spirit, you're only living in about three foot of the abundant life he's really called you to lead. You don't know what all's beyond here. You see, the trouble is there's like a veil right here. You can only really see what's right in front of you. You can't see to the end of it. So whatever it is you're enjoying of God right now, what if you're enjoying about 3 foot of the abundant life he really has for you? Wonder what's on the other side of that stronghold. That good stuff, that'll preach, won't it? I told Mark I'd give him credit one or two times and then it's mine. It's Mark Jenkins talking. Well, let's do the third one now. I guess this is today's message. There's a third one here. See, verse 27, let's look at it again. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You reckon it was hard on Jesus' flesh? It's okay, you can say yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it was hard. You think he felt the pain?
Yeah.
Absolutely, he felt the pain. See, I've seen the Passion of the Christ, that movie that Mel Gibson did, and I thought he did a pretty good job. I mean, it's pretty brutal to look at that, but I know it doesn't near describe what happened. Because I can look in Isaiah, and Isaiah says he saw it in a vision form. He said his visage, his countenance was so marred, he didn't even look like a man anymore. When all of that sickness and everything happened to him, that not only the beating that he took, they showed that pretty well, but see, he bore every sickness, every illness, every damnable, twisted thing that can happen to a human, he bore it. And when Isaiah saw it in vision form, he said, you know, it's like, is that a man or is that a deer hanging up there? I can't tell what that is. It looks like a blob of meat. Because he so that I can't imagine the agony in the flesh that he suffered. Jesus says, you're going to suffer too. Your flesh is not going to like this. And that's why they don't endure sound doctrine. Messages of fasting and prayer is not normally the way to build the biggest church in town. Until the miracles begin breaking out. And not breaking out just through the pastor, not breaking out just through the pastor and the elders, but it starts breaking out through Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper and every single one of you. I'm looking for the day when one of these children lays their hands on a blind person and the eyes open. You want to have some church then, see. All right. Now for time's sake, let's come down to just the third one. I'm going to skip over the tower, and it's hard for me to do that as a teacher. But there's three things. Now look, I want you to see these three verses, and it's verses 26, 27, and 33. So verse 26 again, in essence, you can't love your family more than Jesus. You can't love your own life more than Jesus. Verse 27 is really saying you can't love your flesh more than Jesus. You can't love your flesh more than Jesus. It's going to hurt you on the cross. Your flesh is going to die the death. See, right now, if we had time, we'd go to Romans chapter 8. How do you mortify the deeds of the body? It is through the what? It is through the Spirit. And that should be a little S. I know in the King James it's capital, but that's a little S there. It is through the new nature that you mortify, put to death, could I say crucify, the deeds of the body. Now the Holy Spirit also, in addition to that, He helps us against our infirmities. But it's through that new nature that you mortify, put to death, put on the cross. And it hurts. Again, my job is to not disobey Him. I know what it is to be instantly delivered without any withdrawals. I was a virtual alcoholic for 10 years. Now, I was not the sloppy drunk kind. I was the kind that wore the business suit, the three-piece suit, but I was always about little, kind of half-looped. I was one of those functional alcoholics, you know. It made me fearless. And in negotiations, in that real estate business, I had not only my deals, you know, the properties that I sold, but I had 62 agents, and I got a little piece of all that they did. Well, just to be honest with you, a lot of them weren't as good as I was. Good preachers normally make good salesmen. It's true. I met a lot of preachers that should be selling cars, and I've met some people selling cars that should be preachers, but anyway. They can usually do either one pretty well. But like for example, in this one day, these agents of mine did make mistakes. You know, on one day, I had one guy come in and pulled a gun on me. Another person, a lady, come in later. She got a can of mace and ready to squirt me in the face with it. They wanted out of their contract. By the way, both of those deals closed. Good at what I do. Thunder. But see, all of that has to die. All of that talent, whatever that is. Oh, what I was talking about was the alcohol. The reason I could function then like that, see, I don't have to have that alcohol now to be brave, but then I did. I functioned like that for 10 years. I was never without alcohol. I carried it in my shirt pocket, or my suit pocket, rather. I had it in the glove box of the car. I had it in the bottom right drawer of my desk, everywhere, and I was always just a little bit looped, you know, always, until I got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I don't even remember praying about this. I just went to bed one night. This was within a week after I got saved. Or the first few days, you should have seen it. I mean, I got saved. All I wanted to do was read my Bible. Leave me alone. I didn't even want to go to work or nothing. Just leave me alone. Let me read my Bible. Me and Jesus, I'm smoking like a freight train, drinking my bourbon and Coke. I love you, Jesus. And I'm reading this Bible, you know, tears running down my face. And it goes, as he is, so are we in this world. And I go, I am. Anyway. Don't judge people too harshly. I feel sorry for the person that would have judged me right then. Because me and Jesus had a thing going on now. He was being very long-suffering with me. But within a week, I just went to bed in that condition. I hadn't had a sober day in 10 years. I went to bed like that, woke up the next morning sober, and I've never had a drink since. Amen. I've never had a withdrawal symptom since. Amen. Now, I will confess this. I shouldn't probably. But for about the first 10 years, there was a certain song that when I'd hear it, I'll go ahead and tell you, it was Long Train Running by the Doobie Brothers. Every time I'd hear that song, I'd taste bourbon and Coke in my mouth. I'd been drunk to that song so many times, but anyway. But I never did go back to drinking, so I know what it is to be instantly delivered, okay? But there was a whole different story. I continued to smoke, you know. Y'all know I smoked for eternity in 3 days, you know. 42 years altogether I smoked now. But if you have a stronghold that long, even you start thinking you're never going to be free. Well, as you know, I continued to do those things, continued to pray, because Pastor Dave would say, he said, God will walk through hell with you, and this might be for somebody here tonight, today. He'll walk through hell with you, with your stronghold, as long as you don't start saying that it's not sin if it is, and as long as you don't quit doing those things that will one day spell your freedom. Like what? Staying in the Word, stay in prayer, keep on fasting, resist that thing, and the day will come you'll be free. So, this time though, when I, you know, y'all have heard the story, I kept praying. I had a little vision, had a little encounter with the Lord, and I knew I had to quit. And it was exactly that rope. I had come, I'll tell you this part. Go over there again. This is good. You're going to like this. Tell you about the long suffering and mercy of the Lord. Picture the rope. Picture these black hankies hanging off of there about every 3 foot or so. So maybe I'd got, okay, one of them that for sure was the alcohol. I got past that one, right? One of them, I never was much of a gossiper, but just say gossip. Oh, another one was pornography. Man, I was a champion. I know y'all look at me now. I didn't always look like this. Come on. Anyway. I mean, I not only had pornography, I was proud of mine. I not only buy the Playboy, I would buy the plastic sleeves to keep them in their pristine condition. I'd show them off to people when they'd come. We were heathen. I keep telling you, we were heathen. All right. But that left. That also, that same week that the alcohol left, that left. So what I'm saying, there's hankies on the floor. Then I come to smoking. You know what he let me do? I have a message on this at the website called When You Love Your Stronghold. You know, because I had other strongholds along there. You know what he let me do? I slid it right along the rope. He saw it. I slid it right along the rope, and he let me. And I got to deal with some other ones. You know, there was other strongholds, and I'd come to that one. Now I'd slide it along the rope. Slid it along the rope, and he let me do it until, and I'll tell you exactly when it was January of 2003. January 15th, 2003. And we were in New York. You can sit down. Thank you. We were in New York going to do a service at Christy Smith's. I can't remember the name of the motel, but it was one of those motels that has a bedroom and you can close the door and then there's a little living area. And I was in there because the Lord had woke me up. And I started praying. I had this vision from the Lord. And don't ask me what he looks like. How in the world you can have visions like that? I still can't tell you what he looked like, but it was him. And he just began to talk with me and he said, And I knew he was talking about the smoking. He said, "Now, son, you know you and I have a good relationship. You're doing good work for me, and when you come to heaven, you're going to have a reward." He said, "But I need to tell you this. Where I'm about to send you now, they will not receive anything you have to say. I just can't send you unless you deal with this stronghold." And I knew he was talking about smoking. He says, "They won't receive anything that you say." He said, "But you'll still have we'll have a good relationship. It's your choice. You'll come to heaven. You'll have a reward." He said, "But I am going to have to do this when you get here." He says, "I'm going to have to pull back this curtain. And I'm going to have to show you all that it was the rest of the rope." Now, today I would say the rest of the rope. I didn't know that then. "But I'm going to have to show you all that it was my will for you to accomplish in my kingdom that I never was able to use you for. It's going to be hard on you when I do that." He says, "But after that, I'll wipe away every tear in the memory of it. We'll have a good relationship." Well, I did love my stronghold. Sue could tell you, I'd often say, "I love smoking. I like everything about it." You know, I did. I liked a lot of it. But I like him more.
Yes.
Yeah. And I couldn't. I mean, I never got in bed again that night. I mean, it was, because I'm going, "God, I want to do your will." But see, I had already tried to quit smoking 1,000 times. I don't think I'm exaggerating. I mean, I have been in Maryland. Marilyn Hickey has stomped on my cigarettes. Kenneth Hagin has stomped on my cigarettes. Kenneth Copeland has stomped on my cigarettes. I can't even tell you the services. Of course, on the way home, you got to buy more cigarettes, you know. But, you know, I had done the lozenges. No, lozenges weren't out yet. I had done the nicotine gum. I had done patches. Anything that came along. I mean, this one time, just seriously, I had 2 nicotine gums in my mouth. I had a nicotine patch on each arm, and I had to pull over for a smoke break. And now Jesus says, "It's impossible to me." He says, "You have to quit, or this is He's not going to let me slide it down the rope anymore. This is it." Now I could live, and I could enjoy all the promised land that I had possessed to that point, but never the rest of it. Man, that was a long night. Sue knows that. Next day, and see, we were in New York, we drove there. Meaning, I mean, I'm conditioned driving and smoking all those years, and I got to drive back and not smoke. Oh God, oh God, oh God. You talk about my flesh. I felt like every blood cell come on the outside and was crawling around on the outside of my, I mean, I felt like ants. Can't even describe, unless you've really been addicted to something. Those people that tell you that 21 days you'll be free, those people were never addicted to nothing. They were not. They read it in a book or something. It was hell. It was hard. My flesh, are you kidding? That was hard, man. And I'll tell you part of the reason. Now, I know he can deliver you supernaturally. I've been through it myself. So he's never has said this, but now this is my sneaking suspicion. This is Gary's opinion. This is not thus saith the Lord. I think part of why he let me go through it that time, part of it is to learn it's not always easy on your flesh to take up your cross and follow him. But the other part of it, on that one, he let me pay such a price in the natural. It was 1.5 years before I had a free day where I didn't think of it. I paid such a price in the natural. Even in the natural, I don't ever want to pay that price again. So it's a real deterrent. Yes, sir. I'm not understanding. Apparently, he's not worried about you getting out on time. We didn't get to the third one. That's why he won't let me quit yet. Verse 26 is, you can't love your relatives, your friends, family more than him. You can't even love your own life more than him. Verse 27, it's going to be hard on your flesh. I don't know what's coming next. He may have a calling for me, still another one. There's something else that my flesh is going to have to die over. Well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is, you know. But then look at verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, cannot be my disciple. Boy, that's a hard one there. What in the world does that mean? For a love offering of $19.95. I got to quit doing that. Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's look at this one. What king? Look at verse 31. Now again, I'm going to give Mark Jenkins credit on this one this time only. What king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. Well, I heard Mark Jenkins, he really broke this passage for me. And I would always have the same thought when I'd read that he would have. What fool would consider, if you've got 10,000, what idiot thinks about going to war with that guy that's got 20,000? Why in the world would you do that in the first place? And he just kept meditating that and praying. And finally the Lord got it across to him and says, notice the ratio. You got 10,000. Then you got the other guy coming with 20,000. It's 2 to 1. 2 to 1. Let's see. 2 to 1. What part of you wants to obey God? It's your spirit. What about that flesh? It doesn't care. The unrenewed soul? It doesn't care. You got 2 to 1 here, odds against you, whether you're going to take up your cross and follow him or not. Flesh don't want to do it. Your happy-go-lucky soul don't want to do it. There's only one part of you that really does, and that's that spirit man. But the truth of it is, that one and God is enough. You and God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That spirit he put on the inside of you is that all-conquering spirit of the living God. It's the very nature of Christ himself. You are able to put your foot right on that soul, right on that flesh, and completely fulfill your calling. Now back to 2 Timothy. For all of these things, all of these reasons that we've been talking about for this last 45 minutes or so, it says the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. Why not? They're not really interested in any of the things that we've been talking about for the last 45 minutes. What I want is to go to heaven. I want to live my best life now. I want to live in the nicest house, nicest car, best clothes, everybody like me. Go to heaven. That's what I want. What about all the blind and the poor and the lame? Well, I can't do nothing about that. I'm just interested in my best life now. Well, they won't endure sound doctrine, see. But after their own lusts. In other words, I want teachers that teach me what I want to hear. I'm interested in better cars. I'm interested in better houses. I'm interested in more money. I'm interested in good health. God's not against any of those things. But God is interested in more than those things. Those things are like a bonus if they come. Okay. In fact, my Lord said to me, I'm pretty sure he said to you too, if you seek first his kingdom, if you put his kingdom first, all these things shall be added to you. Your Father knows that you have need of these things. He's not elect. I haven't ever done it yet, but someday I may put a title, God is not stupid. He knows you have need of these things, and he'll add them to you. But verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Boy, you look that up. It's exactly what it sounds like. They made it up. They're just stuff they made up in their head. It's okay to do this. It's okay to live like that. Now they're saying things like, you don't even have to forgive anymore. They're crying out loud. Fables, foolishness. But see, for us, this is the last letter that Paul wrote. He knows he's about to die. These are his last words to his protege. He's basically passing the mantle to his protege here. Look what he says. But you And this would apply to all of us that are wanting to be his disciples. You watch in all things. You endure afflictions. To him he said, do the work of an evangelist. But to all of us, he says, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul says, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Now this is, Sue mentioned this. Bronx job, my job, Pastor Dave's job, Jim Martin's job, Mark Jenkins' job, whoever comes, Alan Taylor, whoever comes. Our job is to help equip you so that you have this verse the day you stand before the Lord yourself. This is what you want. This is the testimony you want to have. Look at it. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. What does that mean? Everything you called me, that rope, everything you called me to do, I didn't stop a fourth of the way. I didn't stop halfway. I finished my course.
Hallelujah.
That's what we want.
Hallelujah.
And I kept the faith.
Praise God.
I'm so thankful to know the truth. I feel blessed of all people on earth that I've been able to hear these truths. Most people don't have a clue. How do you humble yourself under his mighty hand? How do you humble yourself? How do you take the lowest room? Most of the church does not have a clue. Thank God we do. Woe to us if we don't.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Are you sufficiently spanked? Thank you.
Wasn't that powerful? I just want to take just a couple of seconds to say this, is just to let you know the course that we're on, the path that we're on, and how very meticulous the Holy Spirit is in charting this path in front of us, and how that we believe and pray around here that all of everything that we're doing is very scripted by heaven. In other words, it's written out, it's prayed out, and the Holy Spirit is guiding us to where we need to be presently and where we need to be 5 years down the road, and helping bring back, as Matt often says, agreeing with that coming. And so we're doing that, and just by way of example, it was amazing to me when I sat down and heard Gary begin to direct us this morning. Last week we started, most of the time I don't preach with notes. 90% of my ministry is not with notes, because the Word is my notes. But occasionally the Holy Spirit will start a series in me where he wants me to really put it down. And I think one of the reasons why is he doesn't want me to wander a whole lot, you know, go on a whole lot of rabbit trails. But recently we've started two series, and Gary mentioned one of those series is Faith 101 on Wednesday nights. The other one we started last week, and we didn't get real far into it, and it's named Scarcely Be Saved, and it's out of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, If the Righteous Scarcely Be Saved. And so we started that last week, and so I have the notes on that, and I have the notes into when Gary will leave, and it'll, if he so allows, it'll start again next Sunday. But amazing enough, and I could, if you followed me across the yard and I walked in and got the folder, I could open the folder up and show you where we'll start next week. And where we're supposed to start is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. So I think you're at the right place at the right time. Amen. So let's all stand. How many of you plan on being back tonight? I'm going to be here. Hallelujah. We start at 7 o'clock tonight, and be here a little bit early, and worship with us a little bit, and set the atmosphere. I had a great time. I can't wait for this week. I can't wait for tonight. Gary and Sue will be back here at 7 o'clock to minister once again. Father, we bless. We thank you for such a wonderful time in the Lord. We thank you for where we're going. Holy Ghost, we love you. We love you so much. Thank you for being such a dear friend, and thank you for bringing one of our friends to us today. We bless in the name of Jesus, And we pray that you're covering, you're keeping power, and you're bringing us back power. Well, once again, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Bless one another. Greet one another once again. We'll see you tonight.